Frank Pavich makes a tragic mistake in his new documentary, Jodorowsky's Dune, a loving portrait of cult filmmaker Alejandro Jodorowsky, who worked for years in the 1970s to adapt Frank Herbert's beloved science fiction novel Dune into a 14-hour film. Lamentably, Pavich swallows the romantic myth of the great artist ruined by materialist Hollywood. These blinders lead Pavich to foolish extremes. You're either a sellout or a pure but starving artist. He vaunts Jodorowsky as the great artist by denigrating as Hollywood hack David Lynch, the American avant-garde director who, unlike Jodorowsky, did complete a Dune film a decade later. Pavich thus chooses a simplistic good versus evil story over a complex cautionary tale about making art in Hollywood, and his documentary is the worse for it. Pavich is correct that Jodorowsky's version of Dune was on its way to becoming a compelling film. Its vision was grand and the actors lined up, including Orson Welles and rock star Mick Jagger, interesting, to say the least. However, Pavich's romantic portrayal of Jodorowsky as pure genius just doesn't hold water. For example, the film fawns over Jodorowsky as he explains how he altered the ending of Herbert's novel for his planned film. Jodorowsky was to have allowed Fade, the Harkonnen villain, to kill Paul, the savior of the desert planet. All Paul's followers would then in turn show their defiance to the Emperor. "I am Paul," each would say in turn. Unfortunately, film history discovers this collectivist turn from the ending of Spartacus, the 1960 film that allegorized the Hollywood blacklist. After Kirk Douglas's Spartacus is captured, each slave stands up and says, "I am Spartacus," in solidarity, refusing to hand over their leader. Contrary to what Jodorowsky's Dune would have us believe, collectivism and spiritual human cooperation was and is alive in the United States and is not just the domain of European surrealists. Pavich's lost opportunity to focus on the tension between commerce and artistry in his documentary is perhaps best exemplified by Jodorowsky's gloating over the signing of Orson Welles to play the disgusting Baron Harkonnen. Sadly, by the 1970s, Welles was reduced to a joke, most famous for cheap California wine commercials. In truth, after Citizen Kane, Welles's Magnificent Ambersons was taken from him by RKO and brutally re-edited. Welles so believed the romantic mythology he created around himself that he refused to ever recover from this abuse. Welles struggled for the rest of his life, mostly making really good films in Europe that almost nobody saw. That is a tragedy, but one that need not have happened. The responsibility of a great filmmaker is to get his or her vision onto film, no matter what. Jodorowsky's failed film is a crime scene, but not the one that Pavich believes it is. The crime is one of hubris, believing that artists must never compromise to connect to the greater world. This is the tragedy not only of Welles and Jodorowsky, but also of Pavich's film. By embracing the romance of the visionary artist, Pavich has no choice but to dismiss as inferior David Lynch's Dune adaptation, released in 1984. After Jodorowsky's project collapsed, mega-producers Dino De Laurentiis and his daughter Raffaella bought the rights and hired Lynch to direct the project. Lynch is, after all, the American surrealist equivalent of the Chilean-French Jodorowsky. Indeed, many of Jodorowsky's ideas find their way into the 1984 film. The De Laurentiises assembled a similarly international star-studded cast, including José Farrar, Jürgen Prochnow, Max von Sydow, Patrick Stewart, and another rock star, Sting. I don't wish to make the claim that the film adaptation of Dune is a great masterpiece. Indeed, battles with the De Laurentiis clan caused Lynch to remove his name from later re-edits of the film. However, the assumption that crass Hollywood leads only to artistic disaster would mean that The Wizard of Oz and Jaws could never be worthy of mention. Jodorowsky's Dune would likely be a wonderful experience to watch in a movie theater. Unfortunately, we'll never know because it didn't get made. Pavich creates a hagiography around a self-interested Jodorowsky who criticizes Lynch's Dune as awful and not beautiful. Isn't it ironic that the documentary would suddenly invoke box office disaster as a marker of a film's failure, when that very same Hollywood mentality supposedly did such damage to Jodorowsky's career? Dune has a bad reputation because it's campy, the acting overblown, and the ideas grandiose and obtuse. This is, of course, exactly the description one would give of the Jodorowsky cult films that we can see, El Topo from 1970 and The Holy Mountain from 1973. Neither one anything other than wonderful underground films with no commercial appeal whatsoever. It is almost a certainty that had Jodorowsky been able to release his 1970 Dune film, it would have enjoyed a similarly disastrous release. That Pavich's documentary never once pauses its self-aggrandizing reverie to consider this possibility is an inconceivable missed opportunity. From a critical standpoint, Lynch's film version of Dune is much better than its reputation indicates. Lynch, as a filmmaker, is obsessed with the linkage between sound and image. Lynch's surrealistic work with sound and image in his earlier films, such as Eraserhead from 1978 and Blue Velvet from 1986, in which Dune co-star Dean Stockwell sings into a light fixture, is continued in Dune, in which devices amplify sound into powerful weapons. Is Lynch's film any better or as good as that which Jodorowsky could have produced? I do not know. What I do know is that Lynch, by going through the hell of working in Hollywood, was able to put something onto film that I can analyze. Jodorowsky did not. Pavich is young. He too quickly embraces Jodorowsky's idealism and rejects the battered realities of Lynch's career. That's a mistake. Lynch's Dune is far better than the Jodorowsky film We Cannot See.